Hey folks, Dylan here with Eat Wild Podcast. Thanks for joining us. In this podcast, I'm getting together with Jesse Zeman of the BC Wildlife Federation and Mark Hall of the Hunter Conservationist Podcast. And we're getting together to respond to some recent news that came out that British Columbia has included hunting as an essential service here in the province. Now, in initial discussions and social media posts, I think there's some misunderstanding about what that means. So we're going to get into that. And then we're going to discuss what it means to be able to hunt during this COVID time and the restrictions and recommendations we need to follow to keep everybody safe. Now, we recorded this podcast with about 2 hours notice for our gang, and we recorded it over some new software we were using to try and bring everybody together remotely. And to be honest, we learned a few lessons on the recording. My voice sort of sounded like Kermit the Frog on the first recording, and I had my engineer do his best to try and clean it up. And Jesse's having to manage his family at 5 o'clock at night, so there's lots of people coming and going from this one, but I think the information is super important, and I hope that you can appreciate it. And we just wanted to get it out in a timely fashion, because I think it's important that we get a consistent approach of how we are going to move ahead as a hunting community to ensure that some of us can still hunt, where we can stay local, and where we can ensure that everybody's on board with staying close to home and not putting rural communities, First Nation communities at risk. So hopefully you enjoy the podcast and get something out of it. So I want to welcome everybody to the Eat Wild Podcast. And today there was a significant announcement by the provincial government that hunting in British Columbia was designated as an essential service. And I think that announcement, and then on that was today, and then yesterday the limited entry hunting program was released. The regulations that guide where and when we can apply for hunting was released yesterday. So there's been a lot of interest in hunting provincially here in British Columbia, and the probably the most it's generated a lot of conversations in the context of COVID and what's happening, around the world, around travel and social distancing and what that means. And as hunters, when we think LEHs, we're planning ahead to hunting, and what the next adventures are going to be for us, and what, and then even in bear season and turkey season for us here locally. So what does it mean right now to go hunting? What can we do legally, safely? Those are a lot of questions that have been sort of just popped up. And then with this most recent announcement of hunting being deemed an essential service, another big bunch of questions from that. So at about 1:30 today, as there was a lot of conversation happening in media, I reached out to Jesse Zeman with the BC Wildlife Federation hunting and conservationist, hunting advocate and conservationist, and a friend of mine, and he's also been on the Eat Wild Podcast a couple times. My friend Mark from the Mark Hall from the Hunter Conservationist Podcast. I know he was out hunting today, but he got back from hunting and made some time to come join us. So a bit of a last minute get together amongst some folks from the community here. And I think it was just an important time to maybe get some dialogue going, and maybe some consistency in some of the messaging that we're all sharing within our respective communities. So anyways, Jesse, welcome to the Eat Wild Podcast.
Thanks, John.
You been out fishing?
Not for a few days, but we were taking the girls out, and hopefully get out tomorrow with like a half decent day in the weather. So that's the plan.
Cool. So where are you physically, and what does it mean for you to go fishing when it comes in the context of COVID and social isolation?
We've got two young daughters, and so for us being cooped up in the house 24 hours a day is just not practical. So fishing means we can get out and talk about nature and learn about nature, and get asked a million questions about frogs and salamanders and lions and all kinds of stuff. And, usually get to see some eagles and hawks and all kinds of wildlife. So we do a lot of learning out on the water and playing with dolls and And then, you know, hopefully you catch a few fish. The girls get to reel in fish, which they like, and we get dinner out of it as well quite often. So it's a good thing for people with young kids to be able to get outside and burn off some steam.
Okay, so you're still able to do that, and you're living in the Okanagan, and you're relatively close to these access points to recreation.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, right, absolutely. Yeah, we've got a lake that's I don't know.
Oh no!
Oh, sorry. That was someone from government calling. So we've got a lake right behind our house. That's like I don't know, 5-minute drive, and we can hike into that. And then Okanagan Lake is right there as well. So we have a lot of opportunities. I guess similar to Mark, to go hunting and fishing right in our backyard, which is we're really fortunate to have right now.
Yeah, fair enough. Thanks, Jesse. Well, thanks for joining the call here, and maybe just a little bit of background just for the group of what you're up to these days professionally.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of BC Wildlife Federation, I guess the big thing is the big push for us is we all love hunting and fishing, and how do we ensure that everyone can continue to go hunting and fishing safely and responsibly, and so that hunting and fishing don't get closed down. Part of that as well is just generally having people be able to get out and recreate and enjoy the outdoors, because the more people who go out and get to experience it, the more people who care about it, the more value we're going to get socially and politically out of nature. So there's a lot of good things. And, the big push is just trying to maintain hunting and fishing, trying to keep them open, because there's a number of neighboring jurisdictions that have closed it. And, you know, trying to have a conversation with hunters and anglers and the public to make sure that what we're doing is responsible and safe.
Yeah, right on, Jesse. Well, that's good work. Thank you for that. Hey, Mark, what were you up to today?
Hey, I was up at 4 a.m. this morning, like I have been for the last 8 straight days, heading out into the hills. And I've been out turkey hunting since this season opened on the 15th. I had holidays booked before all of this started for turkey season, so.
Nice. And maybe just a quick introduction of you know, well, why you're on this call or what you do as well, if they don't already know yet.
Yeah, so I'm Mark Hall. I'm host of the Hunter Conservationist podcast and the hunterconservationist.com, where I do some writing. And I was one of the colleague of Dylan's when we did the live podcast in Vancouver in January. So, yeah, that's why I'm here. Maybe throw a few thoughts in from the other side of the province.
Yeah, I appreciate how we have a bit of, it's hard for me as someone who's cooped up. I mean, I live at, you know, 31st and Main Street, which is like, you know, basically the center of Vancouver, like geographically. And every weekend I'm kind of like, I have these milestones throughout the season of things I do to like for my adventures. And so like last weekend would have been my trip to like to the Gulf Islands, and which usually means like I'm got my boat, prawn traps are down, crab traps, maybe, you know, it's get some oysters, hang out with my buddy's cabin on the water. Pretty fantastic experience. And that's like, every weekend leading up to where these milestone adventures happen, I'm like, can I go? Can I just sneak down to my boat and run out into the Gulf Islands and go have this experience? And then I like go through the process of what we'll talk about today, which is probably the different like limitations and restrictions associated with restrictions or guidelines with responding to COVID. And I come back to a place where I'm like, oh, yeah, probably can't do that. So, and then I sit around for the weekend, and then now I'm sitting here talking to you guys, if, you know, going off doing these wonderful things on the weekend that involve adventures. I think it's a pretty great conversation for us to have right now as to what's actually happening out there and what the expectations are for all of us in terms of, yeah.
And I think everybody's situation across the province, I mean, British Columbia is so huge, you know, small little communities to big, huge you know, cities like the Lower Mainland, and there's hunters and anglers in every single corner of the province, and everybody's circumstances are different. Like Jesse and I, it's, you know, we're pretty much just backed onto wilderness, and I can drive out and spend all day out in the hills hiking around and not even see another person. So we're pretty lucky, but there's a lot of folks like you, hunters and anglers, that live down in the Lower Mainland. Probably most of the province's hunters and anglers are probably situated down there, like, you know, as a proportion of the population. So it's a different circumstance. I feel bad for people. And hopefully, you know, this announcement today will provide, you know, everybody with a little bit of certainty going forward that, you know, the spring hunting season is still intact for them. And, you know, the fall hunting season, as far as, you know, we can see. So, you know, keep planning, you know, keep looking forward. There's, you know, the opportunities are coming. So.
Yeah, right on. That's a good frame of reference. So maybe let's start there, and maybe we'll go over to Jesse. Oh, Jesse did get a beer. God, I
can't. It's been a long day. I put it on mute and snuck out. It's been a long day.
I was trying really hard not to have a beer. Yeah, it's going to be really hard for me not. I might put you on mute and sneak over. But okay, anyways, let's go to Jesse, and maybe you can introduce what happened today, or what the announcement was today, and kind of give us some context.
Yeah, the announcement actually happened, I think, yesterday. There's always, you know how government works. So there's like something's coming down the pipe, then it gets held up, and then maybe sometimes people change their mind, and, you know. So anyways, we're at a spot where hunting and fishing now been listed in an essential service. And just take it right off from the government website. Essential services are those daily services essential to preserving life, health, public safety, and basic societal function. They're the services British Columbians come to rely on their daily lives. So the hunting, angling, I guess, from the PHO side of things, is really going to be more about food than anything else. Having said that, if people are following with the BC Wildlife Federation is saying, or the provincial government and Fish and Wildlife Branch, they've been pretty clear that it doesn't mean that you can drive from one side of the province to the other. We still want people staying local. We still want people only going out hunting and fishing with people who live in their house. That means if you show up somewhere and there's four of you in a truck and everybody has a different address, you're probably going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. so, you know, I guess from my perspective, the big challenge with all this is, for hunters and anglers, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. You know, we're going to be under a lot of scrutiny now, and it's really up to us, you know, now that it's been listed as an essential service and the province has given us direction as to what the guidelines are, we really need to make sure that everybody follows them so that we don't have some people wreck it for the rest of us.
So just to clarify there, and this is something that I sort of saw coming up on the social media feed when I announced that we were going to talk about this, and when then announced that there was this move to make hunting a public or an essential service. And I think that what I understand is that the essential services is the service that that regulates hunting. So the wildlife officers, the LEH program, the CO service, the putting out the regulations, all of the infrastructure that is required to allow for a hunting season and allow for legal hunting has been deemed as an essential service. So that's the function that allows us to go hunting. But I think it ends there. Like hunting itself, like the act of going hunting, I don't think is essential in the same definition. The essential service is a term that government continues to provide those services because they are deemed essential. However,
they're essential to preserving life, health, public safety, and basic societal function. So that's the definition
of an essential service.
So the how, we know. The where is the question.
Yeah.
And the government, you know, the guidelines that the government has put out has been run through the PHO, through the provincial health officer. And so, you know, she said, we want you to limit travel. And in the LEH, they said, We want you to apply in areas close to your home. Now, that doesn't mean that in September, if things are going great, if things are going great in September, you will likely be able to travel. If things are going really poorly in September, you might not be able to leave your house. So no one has a crystal ball for this, but for now, she's asking people to limit their travel. And I know there's going to be lots of confusion around people saying, well, we're asked to only apply the limited entries, and I live in the Lower Mainland, I like to go hunting in the Caribou. You can still apply and get drawn. If things are going poorly in British Columbia, chances are there are going to be restrictions on travel that won't just be guidelines.
Yeah.
So it's a risk that everyone's going to take.
So, okay, so then that's the focus of this next part of the conversation, is that there are recommendations for how we can hunt. And I'm curious, maybe I'll go to Mark here. So Mark, what types of provisions or have you taken, or steps have you taken to continue to hunt? Have you changed any way that you're currently hunting? Has it changed at all under the new with the COVID situation happening?
Not really. Sort of the way I live and the way I hunt is the restrictions that are on us right now for isolation is kind of like, that's just my life. I don't have a big social life. I don't live in a big city. And I hunt and I fish, and I do a tremendous amount of that by myself. Or, this last week I've been out with my son, who was on the hunts with me and filming. He's here in the house with me. And so it was really, really wasn't anything that I had to do differently. Before the turkey season opened, I was out scouting and I bumped into two people on horses that were going out for a ride, looking for antlers. And, they stayed on their horses. I stood on the ground. We were probably like 12 feet from each other, which was just kind of a normal thing to do when a horse comes up to a stranger, right? Like you just for the safety of the horse not being weirded out. So it wasn't an uncomfortable situation. I didn't feel like I had to do anything different than I normally would if I had bumped into a couple people on horseback. So yeah, it hasn't been a big change for me. I think if things are still like this in the fall, that's going to be my biggest challenge, because my next block of holidays is for the archery season for elk. It's all high country, back country, with two other people. Mm-hmm. It's not the type of hunts you do by yourself. So I'll just wait, and I'm still planning, to do it. Like Jesse said, it is close to home, but I'll just wait and see where things are at in the fall and make that decision. And if I have to change those plans because I can't go hunting with those guys because they're not under, my roof, then I'll deal with that when it comes. But I'll find something fun to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you've got options to modify here. So here, so I want to go through the orders and guidance for fishing and hunting in British Columbia. So what they're saying, there's 8 points here. And then it basically says, if you cannot meet all of these COVID-19 orders and guidance recommendations to fish and hunt safely, then don't go hunting or fishing. And that's what we're seeing consistently as the provincial messaging coming from the PHO and from government. And, and for all of us who want to do things right, this is the list of things we need to do. So the first one is only fish and hunt with members of your family or others that you're living with. So Mark, you've got family you hunt with. Jesse, I'm assuming your young daughters, live under the same roof, so you guys are meeting that mark. So,
yeah. And just to be clear, that's not like members of your family that live in another town. Like, that's like people that live in your house, is what they're saying. It's not super clear because I've had that question asked. They're saying you hunt and fish with people that live in your house.
Yes. So I have. My hunting partner is Claire, my dog, and so she's 14 and a half years old, but she's still got those, like, I got those little pack bags for her. So if we're gonna go and get a black bear and hike in there, she's gonna be packing out her fair share on her back. All right, the other one here, next one is stay 2 meters away from each other. Now that's something that you know, I think we're all getting a handle on that. I'm certainly here in the city, it's pretty interesting just to see the dance on sidewalks and streets as we're walking around. People are like, you know, trying to give everybody their 2 meters, and it makes for an interesting thing to observe for sure. So the next one here is do not share vehicles with individuals outside your family and or other people that you're living with. So this is the big one for us, and you know, even just to hunt locally, like I can't go pick up a friend and go, you know, drive to the Chilliwack Valley or drive somewhere locally and hunt, and that's different. But however, like that can be mitigated, and that's with separate vehicles, and we're starting to see people heading out with separate vehicles. So this is the one that I think is the most interesting. So fish and hunt locally. So Mark, when you hear the word local, what's in your local?
I think for me, local means that I can leave my house. My vehicle has fuel in it. I can go out for the day. I'm self-sufficient and I can return home, or even if I decide to camp, you know, out in the woods and come back. I'm not traveling through communities. I'm not having to stop and fuel up. I'm not having to pick up food. Like I said, I can leave my house as a self-contained unit, go out and do my thing and come back and not need a pit stop. I think if you're starting to travel, or if I was starting to travel farther where I'm going to fuel up or grab something to eat, those are the situations where my activity of hunting and fishing, I'm starting to come into contact with people at gas stations or restaurants and those sorts of things. So to me, it's, I can get there and back as a self-contained unit in my vehicle.
Cool. I like that analogy that kind of gives us context of kind of your vehicle is your bubble. If you can stay inside your bubble and not have to get outside your bubble or let anybody into your bubble, that's a safe approach. Jesse, do you have a definition for what you think as local?
Yeah, Mark, I think his approach is the good approach. I guess it's really hard to define what stay local means, and it's definitely in the gray. And I guess we should say as well, like, these are guidelines. It's not the law. They're guidelines, and everybody has to consider using these and using common sense, because the impact to all the rest of us who are practicing consistently with the PHO means that we don't have rules and laws. It means that we have guidelines. So, yeah, I like what Mark has to say. I mean, I guess I think about it as well as what do they not want people to do? And what Mark's inferring is they do not want people stopping in towns and getting gas and stopping at hotels and stopping at grocery stores. Like we've talked about in the past, where a bunch of people showed up in Princeton and cleaned out the grocery store on the long weekend in April. That is what they do not want. So I like what Mark has to say. If you can go there and go back without stopping, that's a pretty good metric. Then that's what we're trying to avoid, is a lot of these small communities in BC simply do not have the medical facilities to have a COVID-related outbreak. And, you know, obviously, I think where we'll probably end up is, what about the Lower Mainland going to the interior? But I think what Mark has to say is bang on. I would tend to agree with that for sure.
That seems like a very reasonable approach of what, you know, I did know. I mean, I dug for a definition of what is local and what does that mean? And of course, and I, you know, and I asked around a little bit, and you know, no one is able to provide that, because you can't really do it without kind of putting a law in place. And I think that we're right. All being very conscious that, I mean, I know that government does not want to put laws in place to manage our freedoms. I know that that is fundamentally what we're all trying to avoid. We're trying to get through this by putting recommendations in, best practices, trying to get people to comply with how we move ahead. And that can get difficult when you're only working on recommendations, because there's going to be people who are going to put themselves ahead of society as a whole and want to meet their needs. But I think having reasonable objectives and reasonable guidelines, and I think that there'll have to be some work going forward, especially if we're looking at the fall, where we can't, or we still haven't lifted these, you know, we're still in a COVID crisis and still limiting travel. We're going to have to come up with some clear recommendations on what does it mean to stay local? What does it mean to not have an impact if you are hunting or fishing or other forms of recreation? How do you mitigate that completely down to zero? I think Mark's example is a great way of mitigating any risk of transmission of COVID down to zero with that approach. So that's cool. Okay, let's look at the next couple here, and then we can come back to our discussion. Okay, some basic stuff here. Wash your hands often, and so follow all travel advisories of self-isolation requirements. So there is a list of travel advisories. Certainly anything with respect to anybody that's coming flying into Canada now has to self-quarantine or has to have a quarantine plan in place. Have you heard, Jesse, any scuttlebutt about the guide outfitting industry as it relates to international clients coming in?
No, I haven't. I mean, it's essential travel only from outside of the borders, and a lot of those other countries are locked down, so I would imagine that that's not really going on, is my guess. There were some reports earlier about anglers, probably from in-province and other province, showing up at some of the fishing lodges, and I think that's been dealt with. But yeah, I mean, I don't think right now that those kind of things are on.
No, I can't imagine they are. But how about you, Mark? You hearing anything out the Kootenays and where there's a bit of guide outfitting going on and what the guide outfitters are looking ahead at?
No, I haven't. You know, my son is a fly fishing guide, and for right now, like, everything's off. That's his job, actually. So it's, you know, that's all up in the air right now. Again, you know, most of their clients are all, you know, coming from outside the country. So I don't think anybody knows what's happening there yet, because the season doesn't really get started till June. So
yeah, cool. Well, that's going to be, there's a lot of people in that situation that their whole lives are changing, and yeah, well, he's probably got a freezer full of meat anyways. He'll probably survive for now. All right, the last one here, the last point is follow all municipal, First Nation, community, and provincial and federal closures. And I think, Jesse, you were kind of led on to this, and I think it's a really important one for us to understand what it means and how vulnerable the small communities are, like how incredibly important it is that we understand what it means to have even a small risk of bringing a COVID infection to a small community. I know that, you know, the First Nation communities throughout British Columbia, many of which I had Spencer Greening on the podcast, and he's from a small community in the Tsimshian territory. And he hasn't been able to go home to his home territory or his home community because of the vulnerability of the community. Like, there isn't healthcare infrastructure in the community. So if there was, they're very vulnerable to COVID, and there's not a lot of support there. So you can imagine how a small community would feel if hunters or fishers showed up and, you know, got on the dock in their community, and even if it's a very small risk, and even if you're super sure you're not carrying it for some reason or another, it poses such a traumatic, potential catastrophic impact on these small communities. So, so I think what this last recommendation is asking is that, you know, we're not going into communities. If you're leaving your home community, and whether it's within a half a tank of gas or not, you just can't have contact within those communities. And that, I think that is the biggest challenge that we're trying to fight. And I think that it has the biggest repercussions, because even if one person were to screw that up, it would create the grounds for a complete cancellation of hunting if someone was jeopardized this in that way. Jesse,
that's it. That's what we're trying to avoid, right? Is I know even I think it's Cormorant Island. They've declared a state of emergency because they had an outbreak, and you know these small communities really just are not prepared to deal with this stuff. And you know, so you would never want to do that to anyone, never mind someone who doesn't have quick access to medical help. But the other thing is that you have to keep in mind is, you know, there's another 110,000 people with hunting licenses and 280,000 people with fishing licenses who are counting on you to be responsible. And so if you go and do that, you know, the PHO is not going to have a problem with putting restrictions on people's travel or on closing the hunting and fishing season or whatever she has to do to ensure people's safety. So, yeah, they do not take the risk because there's a lot of people that want to go hunting and fishing. And more importantly, there's a lot of people whose safety is, you know, more important than yours in those cases.
Yeah, that's well said. And I think that's something that, yeah, that's just, I think I like the point of, you know, like you're responsible to the other, you know, 100,000 license holders, like to not screw it out for everybody. And then, as you say, like it's paramount that we don't make the mistake of bringing COVID to a small community. I like that for sure.
One of the things you might want to put in your show notes here, make available on our social media, is on the government's website for BC Hunting or resident hunters. They have a special page, which is Fishing and Hunting COVID-19 Updates. So I would say we'll put it in your show notes. We'll put it out on social media, but keep an eye on that page because that's where you'll find everything that's most current and things that get updated and stuff. So there's some information on here about Service BC and Front Counter BC locations are either closed or limited. So if you want to buy a tag, you should be probably thinking ahead and using the online purchase system through the mail. There's some information about whether if you're a new hunter that's hoping to get your hunting license before, you know, this coming fall, there's some links to the BC Wildlife Federation's core program that'll keep you up to date on that sort of thing. So there's a bunch of information there. I think that should be everybody's go-to spot to make sure you're fully aware of what's happening in the fishing and hunting world. So,
yeah, that's a great point. And creating some access to that in the show notes, that's a great idea. So I don't want to take too much time. I know this has been a busy day for Jesse and I kind of caught you out of the blue, Mark. And I just kind of wanted to get this podcast up almost as an information bulletin around what I think is some pretty important information. Why don't we try to kind of move towards wrapping it up here? I think we've hit the high points, but really I think let's just finish off by emphasizing, you know, how we can approach going hunting, in keeping with these recommendations. So the above and beyond, like if I wanted to go hunting in the context of me leaving my house here in Vancouver, it'd be me and my dog and nobody else in my vehicle. I'd have to get all my food prepared. I'd gas up locally. I'd probably bring extra gas, and I'd have a trip plan entirely to be able to stay contained and within my local area to go hunting for the day or stay overnight if I'm staying local, and I'm not coming into contact with gas station stores or for that matter anybody else while I'm hunting. I guess it's a bit different for you guys, but those are the parameters that I have to work under and then work within what's reasonable, what distance is reasonable. And I
your internal person is saying, you know, maybe not a good idea, I think that's probably a pretty good metric or monitor for making your decisions. And, you know, I feel like the big thing too, right now is, you know, bear season in parts of BC is up and running, but a lot of parts it's not. And I'm just hopeful that in another week, things are going to get a lot better. The trajectory is going to continue to, the curve is going to continue to flatten, and hopefully we have some good news May 1st, and then hopefully we have more good news May 15th, and we can get back to a sense of normalcy and kind of take a deep breath.
Yeah, and I think...
Ethical decisions are those actions that you take when nobody's watching you, right? I think that was an Aldo Leopold quote or something. So this is just an extension of our hunting ethics. You know, everything that we do, this is just some stuff that's getting bolted on to what we have to do. I think everybody understands that hunters in this province are under a huge microscope. There's groups and organizations and journalists out there that are just waiting for the slightest little thing to happen in our lifestyle, and it's front page news. So, you know, this is a privilege for us to keep going out and get our food this way. And I think, you know, if everybody treats it that way, knowing that we're probably going to be under the spotlight even more, you know, people watching for somebody getting out of a truck in camo or counting numbers of people in vehicles and stuff. So I think the time for hyper diligence is more imperative now than ever.
That's an excellent point, Mark. And maybe we'll even end on that, because I think that's exactly what we all wanted to get out of this conversation, is just to set some guidelines or reinforce the guidelines that are out there, try to set some clarification of what it might mean to go hunting locally without putting anybody else at risk. And I think that hitting that last point there is extremely important for us as hunters, that we don't want to get caught in the crosshairs of the COVID debate and what is acceptable behavior. We want to be working well within the guidelines and making ethical decisions that don't have a negative impact on anybody. So I think that's a great place to end. And I hope this is helpful to folks, to just, again, to set the tone, to set the expectations. I think we will be looking for, you know, as Jesse says, for things to relax and to get closer to some normalcy, or at least get more direction around, you know, for us as hunters, you know, for us as hunters in the Lower Mainland, are going to be looking for, you know, when will it be okay to travel outside of our local area, and at what point? But we're looking for direction. I think we should be asking for that direction from the provincial health officer, and making sure that we have a consistent approach to what that means. And I do expect that question is going to be clarified here in the coming days and weeks. I do think things are going to start to improve here significantly in the coming weeks, as far as how we're, you know, the regulations and expectations for us that in around our social distancing. I think things are going to improve, and we'll be able to enjoy a little bit more of the things that we love, especially connecting with all the beautiful, amazing places and personal places. So thank you guys for being on here. I just, you know, go back to, you know, turkey hunting in those beautiful grasslands around the Kootenays. And Jesse, I hope you have a really wonderful day fishing with your kids.